This podcast is a proud member of the Paranormality Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the ParaUnity Podcast, part of the Paranormality Radio Network. Tonight, we welcome you to join us at the table. Get comfortable, light the candles, clear your mind, and be prepared. We're going to be opening the box and working on communicating with the dead. Tonight, our topic will be the highly debated spirit boards, or commonly known as the Ouija board. Xander, have you ever used any of these boards?
Yes, I have. And in fact, I've got a little something just on the side here for you. This is my Ouija board. So there's my Ouija board. It's not the fanciest Ouija board. It is custom made. I will tell you, it is custom made. So I had to order it to be custom made. But it cost me, I got it in China, which is weird because it's actually not part of the culture here. So it's obviously some woodworker has just, you know, coined on that he can make a bit of money making these. And I got it for, I would probably say the dollar equivalent of about $3. So it's a budget Ouija board. Honestly, I bought it more for the decorative purpose, particularly when I knew I was going to be starting a paranormal podcast. I was like, this would look awesome in the background. And then I did a couple of photo shoots when we were doing the color art and deciding on what photos we would use. And one of the photos we had an option for was me holding the Ouija board and kind of hanging onto it. And I was really surprised at the public reaction I got about the Ouija board. People were like, put the damn board down, step away from the board. Yes, I do. And I have used it before. One of the things, I don't know if we might touch on this as we're going through the episode today. But one of the things that kind of intrigues me about the Ouija board is how people seem to separate it from other tools or other means of being able to communicate with the other side. So things like EVPs or a spirit box or an EMF reader, those things are all okay. Tarot cards, also fine. But for some reason, the Ouija board has got this really negative stigma attached to it. And to me, it just seems like another tool. It seems like something that, you know, if used correctly, the same way as any other spirit box or anything like that, that you should be able to get good results with it. I think it's got a lot to do with your intention. But for some reason, the Ouija board has this really kind of dark, sort of mysterious connotation to it. And people tend to talk about it like it's just this portal to hell, like you've got a direct line to Satan type of thing.
Speed dial
to Satan. Yeah, I like that.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it's a huge thing. So like in my house, no. It does not come into my house.
Okay, why?
Because
I've seen your box of tricks. I've seen all the other boxes of the box that you've got that has all of your other communication.
Yes. Yep. You know, I got my K2s. I got my cameras. I got my audio everything. Boxes and everything
Let's
else.
Be honest, you've got everything.
And to be fair, I do have a set of tarot cards upstairs.
Yeah. Okay. So why? Tell me why. Why is the Ouija board not allowed in your house?
It could be something held over from when I was a child. Okay. You know, Mom didn't want us playing with it. You know, and we played with it. Of course we did in high school, usually. But, you know, we had actions happen with it. I can't say yes, they were, or no, they weren't legitimate. Okay. I mean, and it's hard because, and that's one of the debatable things on these is, you know, who's to say that somebody's not moving it with their fingers and being like, ooh, but at the same time, you know, it could be something legitimate. I mean, I've heard people that are been investigators for years that have said, yeah, we've actually had it where the planchette moves on its own, where we're not even touching the thing. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. At the same time, I don't want it to bring that shit in my house. If it is, you know, Satan speed dial or heading off to anything else, you know, I don't need that as an open gate because, like anything, there's strict rules on how you use it. Yeah. You know, you have to make sure you open it correctly. You ask the right questions, you close it correctly. And if you don't close it correctly and you have opened up a gateway or a portal or a doorway. Right. You know, who knows what's going to come in your house. And yeah. I mean, if they ain't paying rent and helping clean the house, I'm not interested.
This comes back to the sleep paralysis episode that we did where you get like a housework demon in your house.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll leave the portal open as long as, like you say, as long as they're contributing, as they're doing a bit of dusting, maybe getting the windows. Like I'm all for that.
Fold the towels.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, again, it's just something that kind of interests me because there's so many other, I'm going to call them like divination tools, whether it be scrying, whether it be tarot cards, whether it be, you know, there's so many different things, you know, even down to like, you know, crystal ball or peering into water or all these different things that are said to connect you to the spirit world. And from my perspective, maybe a little bit different to yours, my perspective is that it is just another tool. And like you said, if it is used correctly, and I think that goes for any of the tools that any paranormal, anybody working in the paranormal might, you know, and I mean, this is a question that I sort of thought of while you were talking there. So like all the equipment that you've got, and again, I'm just going to remind the people who are listening that you have got some equipment. You have got a big box of stuff. You know, but it's all very like it's all very technology based, right? You might it kind of has that feeling, or you know, it kind of makes you think that it's a bit more of a scientific method of measuring and collecting data, essentially, right? Or communicating. But it's got an on and an off switch. And so my question is, when you're doing like when you're working with a Ouija board or any other divination material tool, you, like you said, there's certain ways that you open, there's certain questions that you ask and you phrase the questions correctly. And then very important, like you said, is you close the session at the end. When working with something like a spirit box or any of the other kind of tools, I mean, do you think the on off switch is the open and the close and you just got to be careful of the bit in between? Like,
no. So I didn't expect to hit the weeds this early in the show.
Come on, man.
So, but at the same time, you're also kind of, I mean, the way I was understanding it, I may be understanding you wrong. You're saying that some people look at the other equipment as being scientific because they have the on-off switches, but the other tools, like you're talking about the divination tools. And I mean, we could even include the dousing rods into that. But anything you use physical or psychological powers to control as no-nos.
Okay.
That was the way it sounded like you were getting at it.
I mean, not quite. To me, it feels like they're essentially doing the same thing, whether it's a spirit box or dowsing rods or even somebody doing automatic writing with a pen and a piece of paper.
True.
Or tarot cards or a Ouija board. They're all different tools for achieving the same result or achieving a similar result where you're making a connection with the other side or with you know, a spirit or an entity or whatever it might be. The way that they function is just slightly different. So I don't see the difference personally. And again, you know, we're thick in the weeds now. We're at least 2 minutes in and we're already thick in the weeds. You know, whether it be that you're using a piece of paper and a pen and channeling, and essentially the person that is doing it is the channel there, or if you're using the Ouija board and essentially the Ouija board is acting as the channel, or you're using a spirit box and that piece of equipment, which is a modern piece of equipment compared to the other ones, is the channel that is being used. The result that you're achieving is the same. So what is the difference between using a Ouija board and using a spirit box?
Okay, I'm with you now. So yeah. I think the big difference is
the on-off switch.
The thought, yeah, the on-off switch. They just need to put one on there. Come on, Hasbro, get on that. Put that little switch on there. No, I think the big thing with it is the thoughts that have been pushed into everybody's mind with the Ouija boards. You know, it's always been pushed that the only thing that talks to you is demons.
Yeah.
It's a demon board. And they just always shove that into you. And I mean, whether it's religion, whether it's society, you know, you can go online and you see all these people that will post this stuff on Facebook and Instagram where, you know, they have a coffee table that's made out of a Ouija board and they say, be careful where you put your coffee cup because you'll summon a devil to come stir your coffee. Or the new one that I saw was they made the Ouija board into the floor, like the hardwood floor. and they said, well, your Zumba is going to start, Roomba is going to start summoning demons.
I've seen that one.
So, I mean, I think just the connotation that a Ouija board equals a demon board. Yeah. And I think that's the problem. And I mean, I know tons of teams that use, well, they don't use Ouija boards. They use the spirit boards, which, you know, it's the same, similar. You know, it's kind of, it's all kind of been kind of lumped into the same name, but I mean, it's essentially, it's the same thing. You still are using that planchette or some other type of device to symbolize what it's trying to get to, to communicate. And I mean, I'm totally on board with that. I think my big thing is I just don't want my kids to do it because I don't know that they would do it correctly. And that's not exactly, you know, you can pop that right up with the other uncomfortable conversations you have with as a parent to a child that I don't want to have to sit there and explain to them the correct way to use a Ouija board.
One day you're going to start growing hair in strange places and don't touch the spirit board.
Exactly.
Uncomfortable conversations 101.
Exactly. You know, we should make a book for that.
Puberty and the paranormal, your teen.
That's right. Spirits and hair. So let's talk a little bit about the history of it.
Paranormal and cubes. Okay. No.
That's right.
Let's move on. It's only going to get worse quickly.
That's right. It's already taken. So the Ouija board is known as a spirit board or a talking board. It's a flat board that's marked with the letters of the alphabet, has the numbers 0 through 9, the words yes or no. And occasionally they do have hello and goodbye on there, along with other symbols and graphics. So like we've been mentioning, it uses a planchette, which is usually a small heart-shaped piece of wood or a plastic. And it's just kind of a movable indicator that spells out the message during the seance or whatever session you're doing it with. So the participants will all place their fingers on the planchette and it's moved around the board to spell out words. Now, the name Ouija is actually trademarked by Hasbro, but it's often, like I said, generically used to refer to any type of talking board that's out there.
Yeah, it's like the brand has become the common name for it. Same as things like Velcro.
Legos.
Or like Lego. Or yeah, there's actually like a lot of them. Xerox. Okay, so one thing I also want to bring up as well. I just noticed as you said that as well, it just occurred to me that my board doesn't have a hello. It only says goodbye. Look at that. There's no hello on there. Just occurred to me. I'm going to have to get out my whittling tools and whittle hello in there. Anyway, but the thing that just occurred to me as well is that, yes, the planchette it uses, it spells out words. I mean, that kind of implies that there's just no dyslexic entities out there. Like if somebody passed away and they had dyslexia, like you're always getting really well spelled out words, right? And it might be a good thing to look for whether or not you feel like your friends are faking it or not. Like, just look at the way that the words are being spelled out. If there are spelling errors on there, like maybe it's not an entity, maybe it's one of your friends who's maybe, you know, not the world's greatest speller or something like that. Like what I can do actually, and if it's okay with you, is I'm just going to jump in here quickly with a personal story that I've got about using that Ouija board over there. So when I first got it, it literally like arrived the day before. Now my partner, he's Chinese, and like I said, the Ouija board is not. It's not something that's really like most people here aren't aware of what a Ouija board is. They don't know what it's used for. It's never been used as part of the divination process in like Chinese culture or Chinese history. So my partner really, when I showed it to him, he was like, what's that? So I explained to him that this is, and it's a very difficult conversation to have with somebody for the first time. I'm like, well, this is a board that you use to speak to the dead. And he was like, what? And I was like, okay, look, it's a bit more complicated than that. But you know, in my broken Chinese at the time, I was like, well, basically this board is used for communicating with spirits on the other side. And of course, you know, he had, you know, a million questions that I wasn't able to answer at the time because I hadn't done much research. But I said to him, okay, well, look, why don't we test it out and you know, use it and see if it works. Now, one of the things I later discovered is that I broke the first rule of using a Ouija board, and it's never ever use one in your own home, because whatever comes through might just stick around. So I broke that rule, but that's fine. I don't think anything stuck around. I have since moved out of that apartment, so if there's anything there, hopefully it didn't come with. And it's,
you got the deposit back though, right?
Got the deposit back, yeah, that's fine. But we sat at the table, we sat at the dinner table. You know, I know the basic rules of Ouija. I know that you, number one, not supposed to use one by yourself, hashtag the exorcist.
Now I know that you shouldn't do it in your own apartment. Didn't know that at the time. So it was, you know, I knew that both of us had to do it. I knew that we had to open the session, and I knew that you shouldn't remove or pull your fingers away from the planchette as well. And I know that you have to close the session properly. So I was okay with all of those things. And I kept telling him, like, whatever happens, do not just like freak out and run away. Don't leave me alone here with this damn board. So we started doing the question. Now, okay, so this was one of the questions I had. So if we're at the time of using the Ouija board as well, I was like, you know, if we're in China and we're using a Ouija board, and let's say I'm communicating with spirits who are around us here, is it going to be Chinese spirits that come through? Like, are they going to be spelling out Chinese words to me on this like Ouija board? Or is it like, you know, does it not really matter? Like, you know, the fact that I'm in China, it's kind of more interdimensional than that. Anyway, so we're using the Ouija board. I'm asking questions, you know, is anyone there? Would anybody like to communicate? And then after the session, I've now learned one of the other rules of Ouija is that you stop if the board stops making sense. And basically what the Ouija board was doing is it was making a figure eight. The planchette was making a figure eight. Now, I trust my partner. I trust that he wasn't moving the planchette. He didn't know what it, you know, what the Ouija board was. So he has no reason to try and fool me with it. I know that I wasn't moving the planchette, but I can't remember the exact combination, but it kept moving between the letters Z, W, and then two numbers. I think it was 8 and 7. I think it kept going ZW87ZW8, but just like moving in a figure eight the whole time. And I was like, after the first time, I thought it was just finding its bearing. And then the second time it kind of did it, I was like, okay, that's a little bit odd. And then it just repeatedly kept going. And I was like, okay, we should probably stop doing this. This doesn't seem like, I was starting to get a little bit freaked out. I was like, this doesn't seem like something that's willing to communicate with us. So I told my partner, don't freak out. Keep your damn fingers on the planchette. he was shaking and nervous. And I closed the session properly. I said, okay, like, you know, thank you very much. We're going to end the session. Thank you for communicating with us, but we're going to close this. And I moved the planchette down to goodbye. And then later on, I went and spoke to a friend and I was like, oh my goodness, the craziest thing happened. I wish I could remember the numbers, but basically my friend replied to me by saying like that combination of numbers on the Ouija board was basically telling you that you need to learn and follow the rules of using Ouija. Like they actually went and Googled it and there was a certain set of numbers or a certain set that is a message basically saying like, you're breaking the rules, be careful. And so I was like, okay, whoa, that's like even the hair is standing up in my arms right now. Like that's like they went and Googled it. They were like, this is the message that you were being given from the other realm is that you're breaking the rules. You need to go and learn the rules. Be very careful. And I was like, oh, whew, okay. And you know, honestly, I've not really used it much since then. I keep the planchette on one side of the house in a different box and I keep the Ouija board on the other side of the house. I'm like, do not bring those two things together. Anyway, so that's my little story there.
In the flashback of Ghostbusters where they got to keep the two two animals away from each other.
Keep them away from each other.
The Keymaster.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And, you know, funny thing with that, too, is I have a story that we'll get into later that talks about, like, that ZW stuff. So, and then also with the figure eights. And the figure eight.
Yeah, the figure eight. I was like, this can't be good. This doesn't feel like it's right. Nope. Yeah, this doesn't feel right.
So I don't have any good stories for me from when I used to do it just because I don't remember them and nothing crazy happened. The only one that did was whenever we used it at my friend's house, I won't use her name because in case she actually listens to the show and she gets mad at me or she gets in trouble from her parents or something, you know, even though it's been, you know, 25 years, you know, it's fine. But whenever we used it, it always get really cold.
Okay.
That was one thing I always noticed. It always got really cold, not like see your breath cold, but you could definitely tell that the temperature changed. And it always seemed like it was a little darker.
Ooh.
So
cold and dark.
That's cold and dark. You know, that's called good paranormal investigation season. But I mean, other than that, I don't remember anything, you know, major happening. I mean, I've heard stories from other investigators, you know, like I said, where the planchette starts moving on its own, where no one's touching it and it's still moving around. I've also heard of times where it's actually started spinning, like it flips up and starts spinning. So I don't know what that one means. So
yeah.
But, you know, and I mean, it reminds me too, of back earlier in one of our seasons, we had a team from England that uses table tipping. Have you heard of that?
What is no? I've never heard of that.
So table tipping is similar in theory to Ouija board. So it's the same type of subconscious activity. So they stand around this table and they all put their hands on the table, okay, and they're mentally trying to channel something into moving that table or tip the table. And, you know, they put their hands on the ends, you know, just okay, so the fingers are resting on the edge of the table and to see if the table starts moving around or spinning or doing anything. And they've talked about, there's been a lot of times where they ask something to move the table that's there and the table will jerk or it'll jump or, you know, stuff like that.
Creepy.
Yeah. So, but with Ouija boards, so paranormal and supernatural beliefs that are associated with the Ouija have been criticized by the scientific community. Like many things that are in this, it's characterized as pseudoscience. Hmm. So the action of the board can, with them, can be most easily explained by the unconscious movements of those controlling the pointer, which would be like a psychophysiological phenomenon known as the ideomotor effect. So have you heard of that?
I have heard of it. I was trying to, like, as we were talking here, I was like, shit, what's that called again? So I'd forgotten the word was ideomotor, but yeah, I've heard of it before. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like subtle muscle movements, basically, that make the planchette move, like really, really subtle movements in your muscles of the people who are touching.
Yep. It's like an automatic muscular reaction, and it's usually very, very minuscule. And it's they're starting to think it's actually outside of the awareness of the subject. So, you know, just like how you'd have a reflexive response to pain, the body sometimes reacts reflexively with the ideomotor effect to ideas alone without the person consciously deciding on the actions to take. Mm. So they think that a lot of these fall into the same category, like the automatic writing, the dowsing rods, any type of facilitated communication or Ouija boards, all the same. They all think that they're all controlled by this ideomotor effect that, you know, your brain is just making these movements subconsciously because you're mentally trying to get something to respond. So your body is taking over and doing it for you without you even realizing it.
Sure.
So I don't know. But then at the same time, if you look at it, the spirituality side of it, you know, a lot of Christian denominations warn against using the Ouija board, holding that they can lead to demonic possession. So, and then flip that, and occultists, on the other hand, are divided. So some say it's a positive transformation where you can communicate with the other side to get the answers you need. But at the same time, just like what we were talking about, you know, they reiterate that warning that inexperienced users just should not use this thing.
Yeah. I think a lot of it really comes down to your intention and what you're trying to achieve by using the board. Like, I think if you're kind of using it as like a fun parlor game, I'm getting this image of like teenage girls in a sleepover. I don't know why. Teenage girls in a sleepover with a Ouija board. No, I'm not being a perv. I'm gay. So, you know, I'm not being a perv with teenage girls in a sleepover. But using it kind of like as a fun parlor game, as something to like excite and scare them. I think that might be a little bit dangerous because you're kind of playing with forces that you don't understand. If you're using it for the intention of communicating with something evil, I think that's probably what you're going to end up with. But if you're using it with the best intentions, and your intentions are pure, I think that it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be like a demonic possession or that you're going to necessarily get in contact with demons. I think a lot of it has to do with your intention while you're using it.
Yeah, well, and it makes you kind of curious on that too, just because if you think about it, it's so played up in society that it's so evil and bad. I mean, you know, look at the movie Paranormal Activity. You know, it gets more power, the spirit gets more powerful once they start using the Ouija board. Well, and they made that film Ouija.
Yeah, they did. Not a very good film, all that.
No, it wasn't very good. But
really, I mean, I think the most famous, for me, the most famous, the most recognizable movie that is related to Ouija is The Exorcist. I mean, there's that scene right at the beginning, and that's how the entire possession starts. And it might be where this kind of pop culture idea comes from of, or it's probably a bit pre that, but where the idea, the pop culture idea comes from of Ouija leads to demonic possession, like guaranteed. I mean, it's, what's her name again? Is it Regina? The girl in The Exorcist, the character?
Yeah, I think it's Regina.
Yeah.
I think so. Regina.
And she goes into a closet, or she goes into the basement, and she's playing with a Ouija board. And it was, you can see like the way that in the, even in the movie, I think it was portrayed well, that during that time, the Ouija board was still seen as a game. It was still seen as like a kid's board game, basically. And that's the way it was, you know, marketed and sold. And even today, I've noticed, I believe in the UK, I think it's in the UK. I saw something on Instagram, but I think in the UK at the moment, there's a chain of like similar to like the dollar store. And they've got Ouija boards on their shelves, but they've got them in like sparkly pink for girls. And like, no, seriously, like, I'm not even kidding about this. And they're like, cost like £2 or something. And it's like, you know, buy your kid a sparkly pink Barbie fucking Ouija board. Probably a bad idea. But the way that it's portrayed in the movie as well, in the beginning scene, is that she's in the basement, she's playing with the Ouija board. She's talking to somebody called I can't remember his name, but it's Captain someone. She's talking to this, the spirit has told her that his name is Captain whatever it might be. And her mom comes down and finds
Captain
her playing
Howdy.
Captain Howdy, that's it, yes. And her mom comes down and finds her playing with it. And she's all like, oh, well, you know, gotta stop playing that. Come on, let's go up and let's, you know, have dinner. And, you know, you kind of expect mom to freak out and be like, don't play with the Ouija board. But the way that they portray it is that she's just like, it's just something that a kid is playing with. So I think like that's where they took this, the pop culture took this idea of that it's, you know, previously been perceived as this game that kids can play and something that it's fun to do. But this leads to this demonic possession, or leads to evil. I mean, I think that's where a lot of the pop culture mindset kind of shifted about it.
Yeah. And I agree with you. Regan is the girl's name.
Regan, that's it. Regan. Thank you. Not Regina. I was talking to somebody about Canada earlier, and I'm like, Regina, because, you know, there's a million jokes you want to make about that.
Yep. We had to make sure we get it right. I double checked just to be sure, but because yes, I Regan. Mean, I guarantee that anybody that's paranormal that's watching this show or listening to this show is going to be like, how do you not know that?
How do you not know that? And one of the things, REG thing. Regan, yeah, Regina. Yeah. Reginald. I knew it wasn't Reginald, but
it's all Xander's fault, folks. It's all Xander's fault. But, and I mean, one of the things that when I was looking through the research on this stuff, I mean, it's so hard to like narrow things down because it just goes so all over the board. Cause I mean,
over the board,
all over the board. Yeah, no, but you know, it's in movies, it's in books, it's, you see it everywhere. I mean, for Norman Rockwell, the painter from back in the early 1900s, painted a picture of a couple playing with a Ouija board.
Okay.
Back in the 1920s. So, I mean, it's everywhere. And I think one of the things that really didn't help it at all was the fact that, you know, somebody by the name of Aleister Crowley used to use it regularly. Yeah. Yes. And he loved it and said that that was one of the greatest ways to communicate with his magic works that he does. So she also, there was a person named, if I could find it here, Jane Wolfe, who lived with Aleister Crowley, and they used to use the Ouija board all the time. And she actually said that that was some of her greatest spiritual communications that she had. And then Crowley went on to actually teach his students how to use it.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, not exactly somebody that I would want to have teaching me anything, but you know, that's just, I guess that's just up to me. But they did talk about some of his students when they got out of class. They were writing about it, and they actually said that Crowley would actually in class use these to try to summon angels as well as elementals during class.
Good. So, fun teacher to have.
Yeah. That'd be a hell of a field trip. So I don't know. I, like I said, from the beginning, I wouldn't want it in my house. I am apprehensive just because of the connotation that it has with it being a demon board. Mm. You know, that's just not something I want to, you know, spend my day playing with.
You know, I suppose if you did, let's just say that you did have one in your house, for whatever reason, that kind of deeply ingrained idea that it's a demon board, or it is a link to negative energy. Even if you had decided, like, you know, consciously, okay, I'm going to stop thinking it's a demon board. I'm going to, you know, you've kind of got that like deeply rooted kind of belief that it's a demon board. So regardless of, you know, maybe regardless of what you were trying to do when you were using it, that deep seated kind of internal belief might actually affect the outcome of who you're communicating with when you're using a Ouija board. You know?
It's going to be belief. Exactly. And it's going to be like any type of divination that you do. I mean, if you, those people, the mediums and the other users that use them, you know, they focus so hard on building that connection with the person that they're communicating with. Yeah, and if you keep having, you know, that little thing popping in the back of your head saying that this is what it's going to end up becoming, then absolutely. I can see it very easily going downhill and being like Reagan and spitting pea soup all over the house.
Yeah, right. Makes you more susceptible to it. Okay, so question for you then, as a paranormal investigator, if you were on an investigation and somebody who was on your team said, look, guys, I brought a spirit board with me, or I brought a Ouija board with me, would you allow them to use it as part of the investigation? Or would you be like, there's like a no spirit board rule?
No, there's not a rule that you can't use it. The team that I'm on, we're all pretty well agreed in the mindset that that's not something that, you know, trips our trigger. As far as when I work with like other teams, like when I was traveling a lot and meeting up with other teams, if they would have said, hey, this is something that we do, you know, I would just want to know that the people that are running it are, experienced with it, I guess would be the best way. I'd want to know that they have the experience. The nice thing about when you're doing your investigations is you spend a lot of time getting into the history of the location that you're in. So, I mean, if we had a place where it was a known possible demonic activity in that place, I'm not opening that up. I mean, first off, I probably wouldn't even want to go on the investigation to begin with, because demons are a little outside of my comfort zone. Sure. I mean, you have to be very, very strong in yourself. You have to be very confident. You have to be very positive. You have to have complete faith in yourself that nothing can happen to you.
Yeah. You're not going to act bad.
No, I don't trust it. I mean, obviously, I host a podcast. I got to be at least somewhat confident with myself, but there's so much preparation that goes into it that, I mean, you know, I talk to people on the show that, you know, they do the demonology stuff and it's impressive that they can do it. It's not something that I can do. And I know that that's my limitation.
And it's very good that you're not ego driven and you're not like, I think it's very good that you know your limits and you know where your boundaries are and you know what you're open to and what you're not open to doing. Because I think a lot of the time, I'm not going to say any names of any famous paranormal investigators, but I think a lot of the time ego drives a lot of what they're doing, because they want to get to the scariest location, the weirdest location, the most creepy location.
Well, I think the problem that Zach has...
Okay, so you'll say it. All right.
I'll say it.
I like that you leaned into the microphone to say that as well.
Yeah. I,
like that.
I think his thing is... I don't want to say he's driven by money, but I think he's driven by fame. I think he's okay. So get out your weed whacker for this one. did you ever see the movie Twister?
I think a very long time. Is it the movie about tornadoes?
Yeah. With Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton?
That's an old movie. Yes.
Yes. I'm old. It's fine.
Yeah. We're about the same age. So let's not talk about that.
But yeah. So in that movie, there's the two teams. There's the one that are pushing for the science and the one that's pushing for the fame. Yeah. He would be that one. So he doesn't pay attention to all the rules.
Yeah.
because he wants to become famous for it. Obviously, it sure. worked. I mean, he has his own TV show. He's with the way that channel on TV is going, he's practically got his own channel. They play it all the time. He has his museums. He has everything else. And I'm not saying he's ignorant. I'm just saying that
it's sensationalized. Yeah.
Yeah. Hugely. And that's one of the things you have to watch out for with TV shows about paranormal is how much is real and how much is staged. Yeah. Because no one's going to want to watch a show about us sitting there for 5 hours in the dark, talking to ourselves in the dark and nothing happens.
I would watch that actually. Weirdly, I would watch that. I really would. That would be good, like background stuff. But you know, I do think, and it's a lot of the, like a lot of the time when you're doing like shadow work or light work, or like maybe working through like a soul awakening process, or like, you know, connecting with your higher self. One of the things that you're hyper aware of is ego, and like how ego influences a lot of like the way that you feel or the decisions that you're making. Or, you know, you like, I often catch myself in the moment with doing things where I go like, okay, what I just did and the reaction I just had, or the way I wanted to react, that was ego talking. That was absolutely ego talking. It's something I often see as well with people who are doing like soul awakening, who you might say are ascended people, like, or who claim to be at least ascended, you know, have ascended vibrations, or, you know, have reached some form of enlightenment at somewhere on the scale. And I think just the word ascension itself actually creates the sense of hierarchy, because ascension sounds like you're higher up than the others. Mm. As soon as they start to see themselves as ascended, and that by me being ascended, it means that there are people beneath me. Or if you're like this super mega star paranormal investigator and other paranormal investigators aren't quite as good, or they don't, you know, that ego becomes a very big factor in what you're doing. And ego is probably going to be the downfall. You know what I'm, do you know what I'm saying? Mm. You know, like one of the things I really enjoy about his show as well, when I do catch it, and I very rarely watch it nowadays, is that he'll travel thousands of miles and to go and do an investigation. And then as soon as something weird happens, runs in the other fucking direction. So you travel thousands and thousands of miles to come and get exactly the thing you've got now, and you're running away. So good. But yeah, that's a whole episode for another time.
I don't know if I want to get into that one. Maybe we'll make that a live show where we can have people chime in.
We'll invite him on. We've got things to say.
So I got a short story for you here. Okay. It's pretty short. I actually found it. It's the story of a guy named Justin that he's 32. He's from New Jersey. So Justin was playing with a Ouija board one day with several of his friends. They asked questions, but instead of the planchette moving to certain letters, it began to move in strange patterns. It went to all four corners of the board and then made an X. And Ooh. Then it just went in circles.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sounds scary.
Yep. So the next time he used the board, it was with a different friend at his house again. Again, the planchette moved in the same strange pattern. He said he felt like it was some kind of hex. And then later that night, he was sleeping. He felt a forceful hand grab his arm and wake him up. But yet everybody in the house was asleep.
Ooh, creepy. Creepy. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And that was the one that also made an X as well.
Yep. So it went and then it went to all four corners of the board, and then it started just making an X in the middle.
Sounds ominous. Like that sounds like the type of like that's a negative experience. Something bad is happening there.
Yeah. So it's like, just so you know, this means stop.
It means stop. X means stop. It's like, and it's the fact, like, I mean, just like the idea of it, that it's kind of like crossing out the board. It's basically like closing the board, right? It's saying like, no, yep. you're not getting shit. Like you're not in control of this. I'm in control. Like, oh, more. This is a very hair raising episode, Brandon.
I know. My arms
keep trickling up.
No, I was nervous about touching on this one, especially as we get a little bit deeper into the later part of this conversation that I know we're going to get to, because it's just one of those topics that's just like, I'm not totally comfortable with this.
Major creep factor.
Exactly. Well, did you find any stories?
I do. So I'm going to let you, I actually found eight pretty good stories. Obviously, you know, the gospel according to Reddit. I'm not going to make you sit through 8 stories. So I'm going to ask you, pick a number between 1 and 8.
Oh, God.
Hmm.
Let's do 4.
Let's go with 4. Okay, so story number 4 that I found. And this one is called, basically the title of this is I Can See You Through the Window. So ominous title right there.
Oh, great.
Awesome. And this is from Reddit user called No_Springs. And the story goes, I was about 12 or 13 spending the night at a friend's house, goofing around with the Ouija board with him and his sister. We were getting all sorts of gibberish plus words spelled out, just kind of scaring ourselves for fun, not taking it very seriously. Then we got the message, I can see you through the window. And then I can see you through his eyes. Oh my God. There was just a small window in the basement room where we were, and just the backyard and the woods past the driveway visible through that window. We asked it more questions and it said, I'm under the car. So somehow we got up the nerve to go out with the flashlight and peer under the car. I'm shaking my head as I'm reading this because why would you do that? Somehow I got up the nerve to go out with a flashlight and peer under the car where we saw a huge black cat hissing. We ran inside freaking out, and that exact moment the power failed and all the lights in the house went out. We were just about to actually shit ourselves. A few minutes later, the power came back and we sat up until dawn scared and never played with the board again. I mean, I can see you through the window. Next message, I can see you through his eyes. Fuck, more hair raising. Like, I'm sorry, but like, you know, if it's staying in the realm of the board and just talking to me through the board and spelling words out, I'm okay with that. If it's now like standing outside looking in or looking in through somebody else's eyes, I'm no longer okay with this happening. That's too far.
But this is a board game for fun.
It's just a board game. It's just
made by Hasbro.
Yes.
But it can see you through the window.
All right, again, this is one of those, again, where the question comes up for me. Is it just a board game, or is it actually something that's connecting you to another world? Now, if you think about the story that these kids have made, that this person has told, they were 12 and 13 years old, and they were doing it just for fun, you know. And when you're a 12, 13 year old looking for something just for fun, if you were actually manipulating, you know, by the subtle muscle movements or things like that, I don't think a 12 or a 13 year old is going to come up with, I can see you through the window, I can see you through his eyes. Like, they're going to come up with silly things, right? Like, I love Jeff from fifth grade, or, you know, whatever it might be. They're not going to come up with like things like, I can see you through the window, I can see you through his eyes. Those aren't 12 and 13 year old fantasies. So, you know, this is where I start to say, like, okay, you know, maybe it's not just a game. Maybe it is really a connection to the other side.
Well, I have another one for you here. This is a gal named Sherry. She's 29 and she's actually from Iowa. Okay. So one evening when she was in high school, Sherry decided to use a Ouija board with her friends. So nothing seemed to happen. So they just gave up. So what they later discovered was that the Ouija board actually did work. So she went on to say that weird stuff happened in the house ever since that night. And still to this day, it hasn't stopped. So they've had glasses moving across tables by themselves. They saw a spoon and a cup of coffee start stirring in the cup without anyone around it. And they still hear footsteps that lead from upstairs that come down to the living room entrance, and it never stopped. It's still continuing. This has been going on for what, 12, 13 years for her?
Okay, good. She should maybe get in like a medium or somebody to come. Maybe she should call you to come and cleanse the house. Like, she's in Iowa. She's just down the street.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to put a public announcement out there to the girl who's got the ghost that stirs the coffee. Brandon will come and help you out.
Well, I might even be interested in that one because, you know, I always have my coffee every day.
I know, exactly. I've got my coffee right here. I'm like, I wish I had a ghost in my house that stirred the coffee. Like, that's a useful skill.
Yeah.
If there was a cup of coffee waiting for me in the morning, I'd be like, it's cool. You know, maybe we can get in, do another session and get somebody in who bakes pastries for you in the morning or something as well.
Maybe, you know, the pastry ghost.
The pastry ghost.
I think so. Not sure what we need for an actual monster hunt.
Flashlight?
Check.
Warm clothes?
Check.
Recorder?
Recording.
Then we're ready.
Eve!
Cryptids, a sci-fi mystery podcast from Wild Obscura. Now available wherever you get your podcasts. To find out more, visit cryptidspodcast.com or find us on Twitter at cryptidspodcast. Eyes to the skies.
Okay, so I've got one more as well.
Okay.
This one is called The Spirit in the Corner of the Room, and this is from Reddit user GothSci29. Once, right after my ex had lost his friend in an airplane accident, we took the Ouija board out to use it. She was very present, the friend that had passed away in the airplane accident. She was very present. She was very scared and alone and desperate for communication. We stopped using it, and immediately I felt this presence in the corner of the room. I closed my eyes to take a deep breath. Suddenly, the pointer, the planchette, started moving rapidly around and going fast to spell out the words. It was terrifying. I refused to use the Ouija board again. I immediately felt exhausted, completely and utterly drained. I lay down and had a nap. I was asleep for exactly 30 minutes. I woke up, bolted out of bed. I closed my eyes for a second to adjust to where I was, and I saw this spirit, skeletal thing standing in the corner of the room. It suddenly rushed at my face and started screaming at me with a big, gaunt mouth. I opened my eyes and started screaming at my boyfriend to get it off me. I could feel it so oppressive and aggressive, trying to get on me, trying to get in me. I ran from the house, screaming and shaking. I don't think I ever used the Ouija board again. One day, it disappeared from my bedroom. It completely vanished. I've never found the board again. I have no explanation as to what happened to it. Creepy.
I think the boyfriend probably burned it.
I think the boyfriend got rid of it. But that's one of the things you're not supposed to do, is you're not supposed to burn a Ouija board. You're not supposed to, because it opens the portal, I did look into it about like what you're supposed to do with a Ouija board if you no longer want it. Obviously, one of the things is that you can gift it to somebody else with a warning and that, this has brought me bad luck, but you can have it if you want it. Not the best selling point. But the other thing they say is that you should bury it. But you should bury the Ouija board and the planchette away from each other. You should not have those two things next to each other. And again, exactly like I said, I've got the planchette in one, and it's actually in a box in another room in the house. And I've got the actual board itself is in a different room in the house. I make sure that they stay because I've just got this like weird, I've got this like weird idea that like if I kept them close to each other and somehow the spirits manipulated them, and the board fell over and the planchette kind of ended up kind of on the board, I'd be like that, they're trying to open the portal. Like, I wouldn't want that to happen. It's going to be a hell of a hard work for a ghost or an entity to move the planchette from one room to the other room and move the board from the one, make sure that there's a lot of work involved in them doing that.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I heard. I mean, bury your board if you're done with it. I don't recommend giving it away. I mean, no, it does not work as a tax write-off at Goodwill. I do not recommend you doing that to anybody. We do not condone that. But yeah, and I mean, I've also heard of people throwing them in rivers too.
Okay.
Throwing it in the river, letting it wash it away, and then it takes whatever and goes wherever. So, but I mean, that one's definitely a very intense one, and it was very vivid. So
yeah. There's actually a couple of stories that I'd found where folks talk about the board just disappearing. Like they had it one day and the next day they went to where they knew they kept the board, or where they knew the board was, and it was just gone. And that's weird. But, I kind of, like you said, you kind of imagine like Maybe the boyfriend threw it out. Like, you know, if your mom kind of finds a Ouija board in your room and she's all like, oh, hell no. And she gets rid of the Ouija board. Like, it doesn't necessarily tell you. In fact, what I can tell you, I was very, very into the occult and things like that when I was in my teens. And I had gotten hold of a necromancer's workbook, basically. Now, I had no intention on performing necromancy. It was more just for the reading and the interest of, you know, what is involved in necromancy. And we had this very, very cool, store in Cape Town in South Africa. I think it's still around today. It's called Wizards Bookstore. And they do all sorts of books on the occult, whether it is from Wicca to paganism to, I mean, they've got the Bible. They've got, you know, basically like a lot of books related to the spiritual things. But they also do a lot of comic books and they do a lot of like, you know, like Magic the Card Game, and they sell tarot cards. They're a bit of a one size fits all. And like Dungeons and Dragons and things like that as well. And like, you know, collectible superhero action figures. And also, it's a very cool place though. Great place to be when you're a teenager. Anyway, so I'd found this, I think it was called the Necromancer's Workbook. And it was this tiny little like B5 size black workbook with like silver emboss on the cover. It was like really, really stunning. If anything, it was a very attractive kind of spooky, occulty looking book to have on the shelf type of thing. Again, I had no intentions. I remember reading through it and there were a couple of mentions of like drinking stuff out of a skull. And I was like, yeah, I'm not down for that. But you know, but again, I had no intention of performing any necromancy. I just wanted out of interest sake. And this book was on my shelf and it was on my shelf for a very long time. And then one day it wasn't. And to this day, I still have no idea what happened to that book. I did, you know, later at the time I thought like, yeah, my mom threw it out, like typical. She's like going through my stuff. And, you know, I can understand why a mom might want to throw that out, because there's a lot going on there. My parents are in no way religious, by the way. Even to this day, like I still don't know what happened to that book. And many, many years later, I've asked my mom, I was like, did you actually throw that out? And she was like, I never touched it. I don't even know what book you're talking about. I've never seen it. So to this day, the Necromancer's Workbook mysteriously disappeared from my bookshelf.
Well, you know, it'd be really cool is if it actually showed back up at your house. Like
20 years later in China, boom, just on the table.
Yeah, it's just like you had like that one box. Because, you know, whenever you move, everybody always has that one box that they never unpack.
Yeah.
It's in that box.
Brandon, I'll be like, Brandon, we're recording. We have to do an episode. I got something to tell you about.
Right now.
we need to do it now. It's weird. And I've never actually, even now I kind of think like, did I just dream about owning that book? Because it's just weird. I've never been able to find that exact copy of that book ever again. I've searched for it on Amazon. I've looked online and I can't find that version, that same one that if I saw it, I would recognize it type of thing. Very, very weird. Very weird story. Very cool book, like the black with silver embossing on the cover. It was stunning. If anything, it looked really nice and really occulty on your bookshelf type of thing.
All right, so listeners, if you find this book or you've seen this book,
shoot us
a message.
Yeah,
send us a picture. We can check to see if Xander found his book.
I should actually look for it again now that the internet's a bit better. It wasn't that great when I was looking for it the last time back in the, you know, the early 2000s.
All right. So let me read this next story to you. This will be a good segue into this next section. I actually found the story on BuzzFeed. So it's from user Tumblr and Netflix. So we can see where his days are spent.
Yeah.
So a few months ago, my friend brought over her Ouija board. There were about five of us at the sleepover and we began using the board. We met Joe. So after an hour of speaking with Joe, one girl asked, Joe, are you a bad spirit? Joe spelled out N-O. And then he spelled out H-I-M. So we asked what he was talking about. And then he spelled H-E-S-C-O-M-I-N-G. He's coming.
Oh, he's coming. Ooh.
And then it began to spell Z-O-Z.
No. Oh, so many things to say.
So the next morning we tried again, and this time speaking to someone claiming to be Joe's wife. We asked her, is Joe a bad spirit? And she very, very quickly responded, Y-E-S.
Oh, my goodness. So like, I mean, I actually almost bit my words back there because you're not supposed to even pronounce the name. It's like the name you just spelled out that has the two Z's and the two O's. I've listened to a few podcast episodes where like the presenters absolutely refuse to even just say the name. So I'm sorry if I just brought us some bad luck there.
Believe me, it's probably already well out of time.
Sorry, guys. But yeah, I mean, I've heard of this. I'm reluctant to say the name. So I've heard of that particular demon or that particular entity quite often. There is also on Instagram, there was a lot of videos and posts and things a little while ago, I think around November of last year. There's a very famous case of a guy in the States. I don't know if it's maybe something that you're going to talk about. A guy in the States who claimed to be this or be inhabited or be in contact with that particular entity with the Z-O. And he actually, I don't know if he committed suicide or he died. But like he did a lot of like, invocations and things with that particular demon. And he was constantly posting on social media about it, live streaming videos about it. And there's a lot of kind of mystery. In fact, I think he murdered. I think there was something where he like hurt or harmed or murdered somebody as well as a sacrifice to this demon.
I don't have that story in front of me. So
I'll see if I can find it.
But I appreciate you, letting me know that we're not supposed to use that name when before we started the show, I was using it normally.
I don't know if it's just superstition. It might just be superstition.
Okay, well, this next section is going to be hard if I don't actually say it. So
I think I feel safe that we can say it. I think you and I have both got a good enough spiritual resolve that we are not going to be attacked by said entity. It's getting very Harry Potter, he who shall not be named.
I mean, we could go that route. I mean, if that's how we need to do it. But so I'll try to deliver this using it as little as possible.
Okay, all right.
So this demon, the one that was spelled out, he who must not be named, is a mysterious...
Every time.
Yep, we'll just clip it in there. Just flash up Voldemort's face each time.
Yeah.
So this is a mysterious trickster entity known for stalking people through Ouija boards. So those who have claimed that they've made contact with him. So it goes by Z-O-Z-O.
Mm-hmm.
It also goes by Z-A-Z-A, goes by M-A-M-A, which I thought was odd.
Mama, M-A-M-A, yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
Mama.
That's not one that I would want to think about. And I read that. And I was like, really? I have to read that when I have kids. Because, of course, what do kids say when they want something? Mama.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Also goes by O-Z-Z-O-Z-A and Abacus.
Okay. Wow.
So, yeah. But he often shows himself by guiding the planchette into a figure eight formation before frantically zooming it back and forth between those two letters. So his interactions start out friendly, but they get very malicious. He's known for cursing at and threatening contactees, and sometimes like actually personally threatening them. While he's often wrangled by a Ouija board, some believe that saying his name out loud can also summon him from the depths of hell. So, thanks, Xander.
Oops.
So these believers in this claim that this demon has ancient origins, either African or Sumerian. Mm. And it just kind of depends on who you ask. While these claims can't necessarily be substantiated, which in the fact that they could be confusing this one for Pazuzu, which is a Mesopotamian wind demon that was in The Exorcist. But it's a supernatural entity called Z-O-Z-O that was referenced in the 1818 French text, Le Dictionnaire Infernal. And the demonological encyclopedia is written by, written by French author Jacques-Auguste Simon Colon de Plancy.
Wow. Well done. Yeah. Round of applause.
Recounts the story of a young village girl who claimed that she was possessed by three demons named Mimi, Zozo, and Crapulet.
And Crapulet.
Yeah.
Crapulet.
Crapulet.
I've never heard of that one before. Oh, it's a French one. So it's probably Crapulet.
Capulet. You're going to do it in an ostentatious French accent. Capulet. You're going to sound very sexy and seductive. Capulet. When you say it.
I'll leave that one to you, bud. So thoughts?
Well, okay. So first thought, when you spoke about the figure eight thing, I'm immediately having flashbacks about the time that I used the Ouija board with my partner, and that's what we got, this figure eight. Ours kept going ZW, ZW, 87, ZW, 87, ZW, 87. But the figure eight was represented there. Like you can see, you can almost see like the, if I show you my board, I mean, it's not hard to see, but you can see it. I've got to do it backwards now, but it was kind of going like this, it was looping around like that and then going 87 and then like around like that.
So it wasn't like the full board. It was just a little corner.
Just that one little corner. Yeah. And we did start with the planchette in the middle of the board as well. Like we didn't start down at the bottom because we were sitting opposite each other at the table. And it moved down. I'll just do a little, we're doing this on video, but it kind of moved down into to the right of the board and then just started doing this figure eight over and over and over again. So that's a little bit concerning right off the bat. You know, again, it seems, we know that the Ouija board was essentially first produced by the Hasbro company, right? So for there to be this ancient Ouija board demon, kind of implies that the Ouija board is then an ancient object. But my question then is that has the Ouija board, can it be, and it's the method that you're using it for as a divination tool, can it be represented in other ways other than just this, you know, the board with a planchette, if that makes sense? And it reminds me of a game that we used to play when we were kids. And again, I say game very loosely. It was, you know, one of those creepy things that we used to do is we would get the letters of the alphabet and we'd cut out little squares of paper, and then we would use a glass. And exactly now that I think about it, it's exactly what a Ouija board is. We would put the letters of the piece of paper around an arc in front of us, and we put the glass with its open side down, the bottom up, and we would all put our fingers on the edge of the glass and we'd move the glass around. And again, it was supposed to be this kind of like spirit board thing. But it wasn't a Ouija board. It was a game we were playing. Obviously, you know, now I realize that, you know, Southern African kids back in the 80s, like we didn't understand that was basically a homemade Ouija board that we were playing with. For there to be a Ouija board demon implies that Ouija boards have been around for a very, very long time. But I'm just wondering now if maybe they've just taken different form prior to this Hasbro action.
So, jump back into the history a little bit.
Okay.
So the first mention of automatic writing that's used. Okay. So the first mention of the automatic writing method used in Ouija boards or spirit boards was actually found in China around 1100 AD.
Oh, wow. And that you said automatic writing. Yeah.
Yep. It was a historical document of the Song Dynasty. The method, and you may be able to pronounce this better, but the method known as Fuji or planchette writing is the use of planchette writing as a means of necromancy and communion with the spirit world. So it was.
In my 11 years in China, never heard of this. So I'm going to go and look this up because this is fascinating as fuck.
Okay. So let me predecess this by saying that this is from the Gospel of Wikipedia. So
it's usually a little seed of truth somewhere.
That's right.
Can you tell me, you said it was pronounced Fuji. Can you spell that for me?
F-U-J-I.
Yeah, you pronounced it really well. It is Fuji.
But this was, what it's saying in here is that under special rituals and supervisions, it was a practice of the Quanzhen school until it was forbidden by the Qing dynasty.
Qing,
Q-I-N-G.
Qing dynasty.
Yep. Yeah. See, I figured you'd be better at this.
Well, you know, living in China for 11 years has its benefits.
But there's several entire scriptures of the Douzang are supposedly works of automatic or planchette writing.
Wow. I'm going to look into that.
And then according to one author, similar methods of mediumistic spirit writing has been practiced in India, Greece, Rome, and medieval Europe.
So it isn't. So, I mean, it is quite possible that there could be these ancient entities attached. What it does also imply, then is that this form of communication only came about because of written language. If we, you know, if we hadn't learned how to write, we wouldn't have been able to do these things.
True.
So interesting. Oh, we're diving deep here. We're getting really deep in the thickets here.
Yeah. Now so the parlor like, game version of it's only been around since 1891 or 1890. Mm. So that's this guy named Elijah Bond had the idea to patent the planchette and the board with the alphabet exactly like how we have it now. He filed for a patent in May of 1890, and then he received it in 1891. So, oddly enough, he was an attorney and felt that this was what needed to be done.
Yeah.
and the name Ouija actually... there's a couple different claims that one, it's based off an ancient. What is that?
I mean, we did say that particular demon name with the Z's and the O's. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what that is.
No,
it's, get out the cleansing kit.
It's weird. Okay. Well, maybe this episode's going to end weirdly. but they say that Ouija, it's based off the ancient Egyptian word for good luck. Mm-hmm. They also said that the etymology of it actually was a combat.
There's most definitely a beeping or some
okay,
sort of.
Okay, good. You hear it too.
Yeah, I do.
It sounds like it's coming from over here beside me. But they say that it's a combination of the French and German words for yes.
Yeah. We oui and yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You sound that. Yeah. You said it's from 1890. It's, you know, created by this lawyer, Bond, but you can't help wonder, like, there it is again. What is that beeping stuff? That's weird.
Is it telling me that we need to stop?
No. It would give us a notice on the screen if it was telling us that. It wouldn't be. Is one of your, like, your paranormal investigating equipment things kind of on in the room somewhere?
This no, they're the whole
the on-off switch. I'm telling you, the on-off switch, man. I can't help but wonder about the Bond, this lawyer Bond who created it. That, I mean, if you think of it from like a spiritual perspective, that he might have been, you know, kind of given the idea through the spirit realm to create this, to bring this type of divination tool back to modern society, something that we'd forgotten about. You know, like we said, it was used in ancient Greece and ancient China. And then there's probably a very big gap where people weren't necessarily using it. I think it's right around the time that spiritualism and seances and things were very popular as well. You can't help wonder, like maybe it was through divine communication of some, you know, some kind, or like spirit communication of some kind, that actually gave him the idea to go and create this and mass produce this.
And
so that the rest of the world would open these portals and open this connection to the spirit world.
Well, and I mean, I 100% agree with you, because I think that's exactly what was going on with it. I think exactly like you said, with the birth of spiritualism, and they went absolutely bonkers over the stuff.
It did. Yeah.
Anything from tarot cards to crystal ball. What the heck is going on?
Weird stuff. There's weird sounds coming out of your house, Brandon.
It's all your fault. Yeah, I don't know. It's getting more pissy now, but
okay, wait. We got to test this. Like, you're a paranormal investigator. There's weird sounds coming out. I mean, are they coming on cue with certain things that we're saying? Like, is it agreeing with us and confirming things for us? Paranormal investigator Brandon.
It's just literally making random, like, it's interrupting during things we're saying. So
maybe
it's
cutting us off.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, if it shuts off, then I guess that's how we end the show. But no, I mean, you know, like I said, they were doing the crystal balls, they were doing the tarot cards, they were doing, you know, the fortune telling, all that stuff. And it just like exploded and went crazy. And I think it's something with Zoom. My Zoom just popped up. Front of everything. I don't know.
To me, it sounds like it's in the room. It does. To me, it sounds like that beeping is not coming from the computer, because I would hear it more like clearly in my headphones. I'm hearing it with like a bit of distance, like it's somewhere in the room. Not to freak you out, not to make it worse.
It sees you through the window.
Oh, God.
But yeah, so I mean, who knows? It could be anything. I'm surrounded by a bunch of electronics and stuff here. So
yeah, okay.
I don't anything. Know.
Something's trying to tell you something.
Yeah, it's saying, hey, wrap it up. You guys just keep talking about random stuff too much. But yeah, so I mean, I definitely could see that he was like, well, you know, everybody's trying to talk to all these spirits. Why can't I make something too?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They used to say, hey, we had these things, these boards that would communicate these messages. Why can't I make one of those?
I can make one. I can do that.
I could do that. I mean, you already proved it when you're talking about when you were a kid, you used to cut out the letters on the paper and you'd move the cup around. I mean, essentially it's the same thing.
That is not, I mean, now looking back, I'm like, oh damn, we made a Ouija board. Like this is probably not something kids should be doing. But it was, you know, the intention was fun. And the same as what you've said, that you don't really have any memories of like scary things happening or frightening. Like I have no memories of anything ever going wrong or being scared by it. It was just fun and games. It was something that we were playing with. And in fact, I think it was, you know, I think it was so unengaging and kind of boring that playing with it lasted like a minute or two. And then we're like, okay, this is no fun. Just get rid of it. So I don't ever remember like something scary or like memory worthy ever happening while we were doing it. Unless, you know, when you were saying that you don't really have very many memories of playing with the Ouija board, because like, you know, nothing eventful ever really happened. Maybe the spirit realm erased the memories.
Mm. That'd be more aliens.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it's all interconnected. It's all connected. Hashtag alien. You keep looking around like...
Yeah, I'm getting all sorts of crazy noises now.
Weird things happening in there. Something's trying to communicate with you.
Yeah.
Gosh, if only you had a Ouija board.
Oh, if only... My problem is I have to go all the way through the house to get to my equipment to be able to set anything up. So, and one of the big rules, you know, anybody knows as an investigator, you're not supposed to investigate your own home, just like the Ouija board.
Why? Curiosity. Why? Tell me why.
Because, for one, it can mentally distress you out.
Sure.
You know, you run a big risk of, you know, you freak yourself out. So you've heard of pareidolia.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. It's the same type of premise. If you try to investigate your house and you actually find anything, or even if you don't find anything, it can mentally like just trip you out going forward. Like you're constantly thinking something's in your house. And that's probably what's going on right now. It's probably one of Kelly's contraptions on her desk. That's batteries dead or dying. Sure. And that's what's beeping. But at the same time, you know, if you do investigate it and you do something incorrectly, you could bring something into your house.
Okay. And jeopardize. So, okay. Now that makes
sense. Yep. And I mean, jeopardize your family.
It makes sense on both accounts. Like you don't want to feel unsafe in your own home, even if you are just kind of whipping yourself out with like, you know, fantasy. But then at the same time, if you did find something, that also wouldn't be good. So it's like a lose-lose kind of a situation. You're either going to wig out, or you're going to bring something in.
Right. So and I've only investigated my house once, and it wasn't a full investigation, and it has nothing to do with Ouija boards. But somehow we managed to get these from what the mediums that looked into it is that we got these three interdimensional beings that were passing by that stopped in our house and was hanging out in our kids' room. So
nothing a parent ever wants to hear.
Right. But the thing you got to remember with it is, and yes, I don't ever want anything around my kids, obviously. Yeah. But where's going to be the strongest source of energy?
Sure. Okay.
In a kid's room, they're going to have lights that they keep on, the night lights. They're going to have all their toys with batteries. They themselves are full of energy.
Sure.
So
they
more than likely what we kind of agreed was is that they felt it and was like, that's a good place to go. And they didn't do anything. They didn't mess with the kids. You couldn't see them. You know, I tried many times to capture them on cameras and everything like that. But they always hung out in one corner of the room over by the closet, which was between the closet and the window. So it was like two doorways right there.
Sure.
So that's where they hung out. And it was a pain to get rid of them.
Okay, I was just going to ask. Yeah, I mean, what did you have to do to get rid of them? I mean, I suppose it was
cleansing. It took two different mediums, trying to communicate with them to get them to leave. It took two mediums trying to convince them, and then three house cleansings to finally push it out.
Wow.
So.
And then they confirmed they've gone, like interdimensional beings have left.
Yeah, well, as far as I know, I mean, we don't live there, so.
Okay, so in the house that you're in now. Okay, gotcha. Right,
no, not here. They were in the prior house, but they're kind of a bear, but once we got rid of it, you could definitely feel a difference in that room.
Really? But what was, I mean, when you said that you could feel the difference, like the feeling before, was it kind of an oppressive feeling? Was it a negative energy?
It wasn't super oppressive. It was more just you could feel something was off. It's just something wasn't right. And I mean, it wasn't to the point to where you're like, why am I putting my kids in this room to sleep at night? It was more of a, something didn't feel quite right.
Okay.
But you couldn't put your finger on it enough to be like, yes, this is something actually in here, because, you know, the kids would sleep in there. They would play in there. They didn't play with them. They didn't interact with them. It wasn't until the very end when my son, the one that you talked to on the phone conference call that we did the one day, he's the one that said there's somebody in the room and he's standing by the closet.
Oh, wow. Okay. A little psychic on you. A little medium on you.
Because he woke up scared and ran into our room. And that's when it was like, okay, you see something? You know, shit's going down now.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously, I know that you're a responsible parent, obviously. So if there was an oppressive negative energy there, I mean, of course, you're not going to let your kids be in that room and sleep in that room and play in that room, right? Of course not.
Right. And like I said, it wasn't, it was weird because it wasn't oppressive. It just, like it I just said, was, something was off, but it wasn't enough to be able to say something paranormal or, you know, something evil or demonic or, you know, none of that. It was just, something was just a little bit off. Like the energy was just a little different.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
So, but I mean, anyway, you could go in there and sit in that room for long periods of time and you didn't have problems with it. I mean, I used to, when I was trying to get it figured out, I would actually go in that room, you know, I'd put the kids to bed. And I would sit on the floor in that room and, you know, with my back up against the kid's bed and just sit there and watch the room to see if anything happened, any movements, any noises. And it was nothing.
Okay. I mean, I suppose, you know, I'm kind of now assuming the perspective of the three beings, like standing in the corner going like, oh shit, he's here. Stand still. Don't move. We don't want him to know that we're here. Because maybe, like you said, they're just kind of like, they're there to get energy. They're there to kind of refuel. Like, I'm sure traveling between dimensions probably takes a lot of energy from you. And if you're kind of, you know, maybe you were just like a pit stop along the way, like, you know, like pulling into a gas station just to refuel, grab a drink, stock up on your energy so that you've got enough just to keep moving.
Yeah.
And it sounds a bit like, I'm kind of getting this picture of these three interdimensional entities standing in the corner of a room, trying really hard not to be noticed so they can just get the thing that they want to get and then move on.
Well, and I come in there, you know, flinging crosses and slinging holy water and burning sage, and they're like, oh, we just pissed somebody off.
we gotta go guys.
it's crazy.
Back to what we're here to actually talk about.
So
I've got a story here. It's claimed to be a real story. It was put online on livesci-fi.tv on the 22nd of February in 2016. And it's titled Violent Zozo Ouija Demon Attack. And the story goes that one night, me, my wife Felicia, and her friend Shannon decided to go to some mansion ruins in Cartersville, GA, where we lived at the time. GA?
Georgia.
Georgia. So they decided to go to Cartersville, Georgia, where they lived at the time. It had been storming like crazy till we got to the mansion ruins and everything calmed down, which was very eerie. We started doing a basic EVP session, didn't get a whole lot of action on it, so we decided to bring out the Ouija board. Being that my wife is pregnant, I don't let her use the Ouija board right now. Shannon and I started the session by laying out the rules. Then we asked, is there anyone here that wishes to communicate? It took a minute, but the planchette slid to yes. I got a little excited until we asked, are you a human spirit? This time, the response was rather quick and was a definite no. At that moment, I knew we were dealing with something dark. The energy in the place changed in a blink. I felt very uneasy and like something was watching me. We proceeded to ask, what is your name? The planchette started moving strange and went down to 6. I said rather firmly, tell us your name. The planchette went crazy, then went to Z, then O. Then from there, it went very rapidly, Z, O, Z, O, Z, O, Z, O, etc. My wife, not being a big believer, started taunting. I got pretty frustrated with her and told her not to, but she didn't listen. As the session went on, I began feeling very nauseous and dizzy. Then this entity started mentioning it wanted my son, which my wife is currently pregnant with. I got furious, cursed it out a bit, and we said goodbye. When we returned to our apartment, I was feeling very sick, like death had hit me out of nowhere. We decided to call it a night and watch a movie. As we were laying there, my wife said, my back really hurts. Not thinking I told her, you're pregnant, I'm sure your back hurts. She said, no, it's really, really bad. So I told her to come and let me check. She lifted the back of her shirt and I was shocked to see 3 very distinct scratches on her back. Needless to say, there was anointing oil and holy water on her in seconds and throughout the whole apartment. She is now a firm believer in the spirits and no longer taunts anything. And I'm just going to hold the picture up there. I don't know if you can actually make out that picture of the 3 very distinct marks on his wife's back there.
I can't quite tell.
You can't quite tell? I'll see if I can get it a little bit closer for you. Can you see there? Yeah. 3 very distinct scratches down the wife's back there.
That's definitely a sign.
Well, Zozo wanted the baby, right? That's not cool. And attacked the wife. And attacked the wife who was a non-believer as well. So,
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
A lot of times what I hear from people that are into demonology and stuff is that they usually go after the non-believers first because they're the weakest willed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that. I remember a conversation, I think it was the one that we'd had when Stone and I recorded with you and we were talking about the Black Eyed Kids, and you mentioned a haunted location that you often investigate, and there's a particular entity there or a spirit there that seems to target or single out the people who aren't necessarily believers.
Yep, Edinburgh Manor.
Yes.
That's actually the one that our good friend Zach Baggins ran out of.
Did he? Did he really?
Yeah.
What a bitch.
So, yeah, nope. They have a spirit there. They called him, what did they call him on the show? Oh, I don't remember. Oh, the Joker is what they called him.
Or the janitor or something like that, wasn't it? Like the Joker or the janitor?
It was the Joker.
The janitor of that place. Yes. Okay.
The caretaker. Yeah. Yep.
I know there was. Yeah.
But so the Joker, I mean, he is an actual spirit there. That's not what he's called, but he is a mischievous spirit there that likes to pick on people that are skeptics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very true that happens. They single out the weak links.
The ones that don't believe. There were a couple of other things here that I found on the same live sci-fi thing, and they said that a couple of the indications that you're connected to Zozo, in fact, going back to your story as well, the one that you had told about Zozo, is you said that are you a good entity? And I think the answer was yes. It was that Joe spirit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, answer was yes, and it kind of brings that to mind that I think it's like that kind of paradigm paradox type of thing. Where an entity, if it is an evil entity, is going to lie and it's going to say yes. So when you're getting a yes or no answer, you never know if you're getting the truth or you're getting a lie type of thing. So you can't necessarily always believe the answer that's coming through. But one of the other things that they say that are indications that you're connected to the Zozo demon, other than looking at the words that it's using or the messages that it's spelling, is that the planchet makes rapid figure of eight movements, which, you know, freaked me out because that's happened to me. That poltergeist activity starts when the player wants to close the session. That dark shadow figures appear during or after board sessions. And there are false feelings of power over the unknown. I don't quite understand what they mean by that, false feelings of power over the unknown.
It's that feel like you can control it. You feel that you have the power and the control over what you're doing.
Over the session and that's interesting. So it's actually instilling this like false sense of confidence inside of you that you're in control of what's happening.
Yes, and the reason why would be...
interesting.
Yep, it gives you that false sense because if you feel more in control or more confident, you put your guard down more.
Yeah, and you kind of get a bit brazen. Again, it comes back to the ego. We're talking about the ego. oh my God, this is exactly what's happening to Zach. This is exactly where he is being manipulated and controlled by Zozo, and he's done a deal with the devil. That's why he's getting rich. Okay, we've cracked the case. But then the last one that they've listed here is feelings of depression or of being watched after playing with the board. And I'm kind of relating to that one as well, because now thinking about it, like in the apartment that we'd lived in before where we did use the Ouija board and we got the figure eight, there was sometimes a feeling of being watched in that apartment, but very, very fleeting moment, like a very kind of, oh, that felt creepy. And I think, again, that was something I brought up with you on our Black Eyed Kids episode, is I will actually vocally say, you are not welcome here. And it was, I had this kind of, you're going to laugh at me, but I have this rule that I was like, okay, like whatever entity, whatever being is here, if you're here to stay, cool. Like, let's just kind of live in harmony. We can, you know, we can coexist in a space. I have one rule. You're not allowed in my bedroom. And so when I would kind of get this feeling that there was something in the apartment present in the time, and I would walk to my bedroom, I would actually turn around and face out of, like, at the door, I would turn around and face into the rest of the apartment so the bedroom was behind me, and I'd walk in backwards. And I would be saying, like, you are not welcome in here. You may not pass into this room. And I kind of just had this feeling like if I was doing it walking in backwards, like it couldn't attach itself to my back and follow me in type of thing, that I was standing and facing it and saying to it, you are not allowed in here, and slowly back into the bedroom type of thing. So I don't know if that's just superstition, but I never had the sensation of anything in my bedroom.
That's
never
good did. Though.
So if it was following me, if there was something cohabiting that space with us, it was obeying the rule of you are not allowed in the bedroom. And I was like, look, you can have the living room, you can have the kitchen, you can have the dining room and the bathroom. It's cool. But you're not allowed in the bedroom. That's the one rule I've got. And it worked.
That's good. All right.
Watch me shower, that's fine. You know, if you want to sit and watch me eat, that's
all
cool.
Right. Well, I got one more story for us before we wrap this up tonight. It's a real short one. And we'll leave it on a positive note.
Okay.
So this one is from the BuzzFeed user Laurels 4B390862A.
Okay.
That was kind of fun to say. Yeah. So what Laurel says is, once I played with a Ouija board at a sleepover. We weren't asking it anything weird, just, you know, silly, stupid kid questions like, who am I gonna marry? I gave it gave me the initials of someone that I would date in the future, and it gave me not a Z-O, but a N and a B. So sure enough, I've now been dating someone with those exact initials for over 5 years.
Okay. Now, okay, you've got to wonder, did that person actively go and seek out, like, were there loads and loads of people that they dated that did not have those initials? And in their mind, they were like, I'm not going to marry this person because they don't have the initials that the board told me. It's one of those things, like, as you know, I do tarot readings where people are like, okay, well, who am I going to marry? And I'll just say to them, look, we could do that reading for you, but it could have a very negative effect, and you might miss out on relationships that would have been really good because you've got this idea of this one person in your head and you're looking for that person. You might miss really, really good relationships and experiences with other people because you're so fixated on finding that one person that you think is the one, or that the cards tell you is the one. So I wonder about that one.
Yeah. And that's the exact same reason why I don't get tarot card readings done on myself.
Sure.
So, because you know, I'm happy with my children. I'm happy with my job. I'm happy with my family, my wife, everything. And I don't want to go in there and have the cards go, oh, by the way.
FYI.
So that would be my luck. They'd be like, yeah, so you're going to be facing a lot more stuff than you didn't realize.
There's a whole lot of shit going on that you are not aware of. Like, oh, okay. That's great.
All right. So
that is
well,
a nice story. That is a positive. And I like the fact that you ended it on a positive Ouija board story because, again, coming back to what we were talking about in the beginning, I really think it's got a lot to do with your intention and how you're using the board. My own personal belief, but again, it's not something I'm testing. My own personal belief that if your intention is good and you're not looking to do any harm or you're not looking to connect with anything that's evil, I don't know if we need to necessarily be scared of it, but I think we should always be cautious of it. And with that said, I'm not going to use my Ouija board by myself in my apartment ever.
Well, I do encourage our listeners to, if you have any Ouija board stories of, you know, experiences that you've had, you know, share them with us. You know, go on Instagram, go on Facebook, you know, go on the website, you know, leave us a message and tell us about your Ouija board stories. Because I mean, both of us would love to hear them and love to read about it. You know, maybe we'll do a section where we'll do down the road where we'll do something where it's all viewer stories that we can talk about all that different stuff. But tonight, though, we're going to bring it to a close. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. So if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please remember to leave us 5 stars or give us a review. It helps us to get the word out about the show, and we want to hear your feedback to help make the show better. So if you're an Android listener, you can follow us on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, so you never miss an episode. Remember, if you like the show, tell a friend. You can pull it out on your Ouija board even. So, but if you want to help out the show or want more ParaUnity, please remember to join us on our Patreon page. That's where you'll be able to find the videos for all these episodes that'll be upcoming. My name is Brandon.
And I'm Xander, and you have been listening to the best place to bring our paranormal teams a little closer together.
The ParaUnity Podcast on the Paranormality Radio Network.